Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. We are going to get to the heart of what matters. We're talking with Jean Adrian today, and we are going to talk about relationships, specifically relationships now that we're in this kind of new energy that we've been going through. So looking at relationships from that perspective, we both are in a position where we are working and attracting a relationship. That does not mean that we do not have the skill set. It just means that we're all on this very interesting journey together. So welcome, Jean.
Well, thank you, Lori. It's great to be here. And, you know, I think every time we interact with somebody, it's a relationship.
Absolutely.
You know, so while we're, I guess, primarily focusing today on romantic partnership, I think that everything that we say today is really going to carry across the board for all relationships, interpersonal of every kind.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I think the heart of it all, when we get to the heart of the matter here, is it has to begin with our relationship with ourselves, doesn't it?
It's always that. That's always the very first thing that we have to look at. There's never...
Yeah. Oh, darn!
There's never any way to avoid the relationship with ourselves and how we feel about ourselves, because that directly impacts how we have relationships outside of ourselves, because it's everything's within us first. So, yeah, totally. It's always that piece that we have to look... You know, how we feel about ourselves. What are our beliefs? What are our values? And, you know, and that's when I get to the, you know, when you're wanting to create a partner into your life, like, don't look at the outer exterior of somebody and say, oh, I want someone who's tall, dark, and handsome, or, you know, has a lot of money, or, you know, those things can be helpful, and you certainly want to be attracted to somebody. But the thing is, you're going to be attracted to who you're supposed to be attracted to. And I know that we're going to talk about karma versus, you know, soul relationships. But so let's just dig into this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, I believe we teach what we need to learn. So I think that everything that I know that I say today is going to help me on my path. And as I look back in my history of relationships over the last 60 plus years, I've learned something from every one of them, but in examining them, what I see is that every time I have pulled a relationship into my field and attracted a relationship to myself, what I've done is I've brought to myself a relationship that exactly mirrored where I was emotionally and spiritually and physically at that time.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, really? I did that? You know, and so some of it was pretty scary. But as I try to create a timeline of it, I can see how far I've come and how much I've grown based on the quality of the relationships that I've attracted. And the biggest piece to me is that when I begin the dance with someone else, you know, whether it's a romantic dance or whether it's just a business relationship dance or just a friend dance, when I begin that dance, I'm able to discern much more quickly whether or not this is going to be a relationship that serves me, whether it's a lesson I've already mastered, or whether it's yet something that I probably still need to play with because there's something here for me to learn.
Yeah. It's an interesting journey that we're on for sure. And relationships are the one area that we learn the most about ourselves. We learn the most about others. And it's kind of that area that we have to sort of delve into, and I guess, you know, almost get excited about it. Usually when people start relationships, you know, it becomes this really serious thing. Like, we need to just have some fun and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that if we could, leave that levity piece in there, relationships would be easier and happier and probably last longer.
Yeah.
But hey, it is what it is. But, you know, I think I've got this theory that it's all about information. I've got this theory, and boy, jump in at any moment and correct me, you know, if I'm getting off on something you disagree with.
Okay.
But I believe that as a soul, that we come here, we incarnate wherever we incarnate, for this time it's planet Earth. We come here to gather as much information as possible to grow our soul. It's almost like bees going out and gathering pollen, and we dance around our incarnation, and it's all about what information do you have that will help me grow, and what information do I have that will help you grow, and that we're sharing that information, you know, and we may think that we're in this, you know, heavy, you know, intimate, sexual, loving relationship, but really, if you cut to the chase of it, it's all about swapping information between two souls to increase the consciousness and the vibration of the individual souls. How do you feel about that?
I would totally agree with that. I think that that's really, I mean, you know, I believe that we have many, many, many contracts. And, you know, we could, you know, if it's what we desire and if it's, you know, part of our growth process. I mean, I think there have been many lives where we chose to be, you know, nuns or, you know, where we were completely out of the environment where we created relationships, where we, you know, sat in a mountaintop and, you know, we were monks and we were celibate. And but this isn't this life. And
right.
For most of us, I think, you know, one of the things that I hear most often is, you know, well, if I break up with this person, you know, will there be somebody else? And I always say there's always somebody else. If that's what you choose, if that's what you truly desire, there's always somebody else. We're the ones that get caught up in, you know, whether it's usually about a belief, whether we're good enough or lovable enough, or, I mean, it's those things that we sort of work on within our relationships. And, you know, it's, I totally agree that relationships are all about us learning and choosing different people. I have a friend who had a very dramatic relationship recently, and she just wasn't able to let go. She'd get very depressed, and she just wasn't able to let go. And one of the things that we came to understand about her relationship, it was the closest relationship she'd had at this point to her actual parental relationship. It had the exact triggers, and like point to point, it was the closest she'd ever had to what her parents had had. And so that's why it was so dramatic for her and so incredibly challenging for her. And she just couldn't let go because it was so close. And that's what she had thought was her definition of love. We've now come to a new understanding that that wasn't love. That was just what her parents were going through. Like, that was this piece where she just couldn't let go.
Yeah. And, you know, so much of what we experience in relationship, we base on what we've seen around us. And I think probably the first model for most of us is the relationship of our parents. And I have a client who, her parents, fought all the time. There was a lot in their household. There was a lot of yelling and screaming, and, especially from the dad. The dad had serious anger management issues. The mother was more, compromising, condescending, quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so this woman grew up thinking that that was love.
Right.
And so she gets married, and it really, I don't think it kicked in before the first child. It kicked in right after the first child. So maybe there was some postpartum depression involved in this one as well, because I didn't know her then. What their relationship disintegrated into was her constantly yelling, screaming, hollering, berating her husband, who went into his shell when she did that. You know, it was a classic example of passive aggressive behavior, where she was the passive one. She was the aggressive one. He was the passive one. And it was totally based on her parents' relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and through a lot of counseling and a lot of work, you know, that has shifted, and now they're in a place where there's happiness. But she had to get past having to be like her daddy, because she thought that he really loved his wife. Because
exactly.
Of the way he acted.
Well, and because, I mean, as a child, when we are 100% dependent upon our family and our parents, we have to actually believe that they love us. So we choose to see that as love, no matter what it looks like, whether it's abusive physically, mentally, emotionally, whether it's harmful in other ways. I mean, this is how we have to create that belief. And all of our beliefs are already set by the time we're seven.
Yeah.
So we have to create that belief that this is love. And it's why we attract certain people into our lives. And once we get past understanding that, like, I know that I've the narcissistic relationship that was always my mom. So I was able to, you know, get that. I honestly, I'm not completely confident whether I've ever had a relationship that was my dad. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was because he passed away when I was so young, or I'm not sure. Maybe I have. You know, I don't know I didn't know his MO quite so well as I know my mom's.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know that I've done both of them. It's really funny that, cause my mom was the catalyst for me learning boundaries.
Mm.
Because she was a master manipulator.
Right.
And so I've married two master manipulators, and I've married my father twice. You know, so there you go. But I tend to, I think as I've gotten older, and I guess maybe it was because there were more lessons that I needed to learn and things that I needed to heal about this master manipulator thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've tended in the last 5 years, rather than attract them to me as romantic partners, I've brought them to me as friends.
And that's the thing that happens a lot, especially these days, is, you know, if we're not getting an intimate relationship, and there are a lot of people choosing not to have intimate relationships right now, but mm-hmm. if we're not having an intimate relationship, we have no choice but to either go through our friends or our coworkers. So that's why people work out some of the things. But the thing is, our intimate relationship, it has more of a... there's more of a bite to it, because it's more personal to us. We want to keep it functional. So we try harder and we work harder at evolving it, because it's not as, you know, when it's a friend or a coworker, you can change jobs, you can get rid of your friends. I mean, depending on whether it's a really close friend or not. But you don't want to do that when it's an intimate relationship. You want to actually work on it. So it's interesting, because I think now, you know, for the last 20 years, there's been more people choosing to be single rather than settling, or rather than actually doing the work and creating something special, than ever in history. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a time where there's been so many people that have... I mean, I know women who have never been in a relationship longer than 6 months, and they're in their 50s to 60s.
Wow.
Exactly. So it's a strange, this is an interesting time for people.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, I agree that we, you know, even if we are in an intimate relationship, we may still choose our friends or our coworkers to work things out. And that's why when people a lot of times when we used to do our show with CBS and they'd ask us lots of information about a relationship or a job. And we knew that basically what they were asking is relationship information, whether mm-hmm. it was, you know, it didn't matter what package it was being placed in. It could be family, our extended family or our family now. It could be our coworkers. Almost like I would say 95% of the people that leave their job, they're not really leaving their job because they don't like their job. They're leaving their job because they have a conflict with somebody in their workplace.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to our first break. You are listening to News for the Heart. We are getting to the heart of what matters. We have Jean Adrian with us today. Jean's going to be with us two times every month. And we're talking all about relationships. So if you have questions and you want to contact us, please do on Facebook, either myself or Jean, or go to our websites, jeanadrian.com, or you can go to intuitivesoul.com, and we'd be happy to include you in one of our live tapings. All right, so we're going to go to break. We will be right back. Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685, and I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers, wanting to understand your relationships better, why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with bmajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We are getting to the heart of what matters. I have Jean Adrian joining us today. We're talking all about relationships. This is kind of an exciting topic. I think It tends to flow very quickly because relationships are, you know, such an important part. I almost want to make all of my shows about relationships because I think it's just a really big piece of our understanding and our growth and our movement forward. Now, Jean, you've gotten some information recently that was channeled through you about the differences that are happening with regards to karmic relationships and soul relationships. So let's delve into that.
Oh, let's do a deep dive. Okay, yeah. So, you know, for the last almost year, I've been working on myself. I've chosen or been thrust into a place where I've not been in a relationship. It's been like I've been in the relationship desert. So when that kind of thing happens, it's a pretty good clue to me that I'm supposed to be doing the work on the inner planes. Mm-hmm. And I have been doing that. And now, you know, maybe it was have to do with the emergence of spring, but I really felt like it was time to really pop my head back out into the world of relationships and play there. you know, again. And so as I have been choosing to do that, of course, my guides have been flying in thick and fast, wanting to talk to me about relationships. And so this weekend, I got into a really, like, long conversation with Channel about relationships. And one of the things that I learned was that from a frequency and vibrational standpoint, if we're elevating ourselves, if we're working on ourselves, we have reached a place where we've superseded karma, if we choose.
Right.
And what they told me was that all the relationships that we've had in the past have been karmic-based relationships, where we've been cleaning up messes from other lifetimes, fixing, you know, the collateral damage that we did to ourselves and others, that kind of thing, and it's all been contract-based. But they said that now the frequency of the planet is one of grace, and grace has the ability to override karma. So we can choose to create relationships for ourselves at this point that are not karmic based. And that's kind of an amazing thing, because karma has limited relationships in the past to a place of them always being lesson-based relationships. So if we supersede karma and we allow grace to flow into this mix, then how I interpret that is that now I can choose for myself a relationship that is not lesson-based, but rather one that can be pleasure and enjoyable and happy and growth-filled without pain.
Right.
And that is delicious sounding to me.
It
I'm
does,
like, oh, yeah.
It does sound good, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm
it
wondering, does. You know, I understand the whole karma versus soul. And, I mean, I've been in a soul group relationship. And I wouldn't necessarily say that it was any easier. It's just different. It you evolve in a different place. But from what I think I'm hearing from you is that even that may be from a different place.
Yeah. What they said was everything is changing now. Mm-hmm. So the first one that they jumped into, and I really loved the choice of words, was they said that all of your quote unquote man-made rules are out the window. That certainly for the last 5 to 10,000 years, we've been living in a patriarchal civilization, society. And so many of the rules that we feel apply to us at this point were rules that were made by the patriarch, the male. And not necessarily in favor of the female, the feminine.
Right.
But that is shifting, and we're moving back into a place of balance now. In fact, we, according to my guides, we're there. We just don't necessarily see it. And the evidence of some of this, if you look at the socio-political global civilization, you see that the old guard is regressing back into some of that heavy patriarchal stuff. It's like, whoa, they're feeling those death throes and they don't want to let go.
Right.
And the evidence of that is what's going on in Russia right now. You know, going back and taking over civilizations that had gained their freedom in Ukraine, for example. So that's and some of the stuff that's going on in Africa and Syria. You know, these are all examples of old guard patriarch stuff. Where it's just, you know, it's like, have you ever observed a toddler, and in the evening when it's getting close to bedtime, you know, they'll be just fine. Everything's happy. Life is all good. And then they start getting more and more frenetic, and, you know, they start, running around like crazy and then getting angry and crying and because they're fighting sleep.
Yeah.
they don't want to give up sleep. And that's how I see this patriarchal stuff happening. And so what Channel was saying was that all of those man-made rules are going to have to shift so that they are in favor of equality and balance and not, you know, one over the other. And one of the first places where they said we're going to see that has to do with the concept of marriage.
Okay.
Yeah, because marriage is one of those man-made relationship rules.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was totally a way for the church to get itself, its hands into family. Like it mm-hmm. it was the only way. It was a way to have property, and you know, women were the men's property. I mean, if you right. look at the history of marriage, it was definitely a man-made thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So, and they said that this is not to say that marriage, what you call an institution of marriage, is going to go away, because your planet is still one of choice. So there are people who will still choose to do traditional marriage. However, that you may see this becoming far less of a prevalence than what you've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. And those people who choose marriage perhaps will choose to do it differently. One of the examples that they gave me was women taking on the name of the husband.
Right.
And in the past, we've kind of acquiesced through a little hyphenation stage and, you know, things like that, danced around it. But, you know, there's really nothing to be served by that.
Right.
And it's about what has happened because of that, or again, this is my interpretation, this is not from Channel, is that women have given away their identity. If you consider your name to be your identity, we've lost identity in the past and become more of the identity of the husband.
I would definitely agree with that. I think that's part of why that was all set apart. I mean, yes, there's the issue about children, but then again, it becomes this big game on, you know, is it property? Are we property or are we, you know, people? And,
right.
you know, this is where it kind of gets really, you know, I don't know if you had the joy of talking with Thomas Campbell about relationships, but he's been doing some work on relationships, and it was a very interesting concept. He's a nuclear physicist, for those who don't know him. But he's writing a book on relationships and looking at the old ways, like the actual things that are in our genes, our genetics, that, you know, why we have relationships the way they are. I mean, he doesn't talk about marriage or any of that stuff, but he does talk about, you know, it has to do with children, it has to do with, you know, monogamy, even though, you know, the concept, neither one of us actually, from some perspectives, neither one of us want monogamy. We actually want whoever is the best.
Yeah.
So we search for the best, but then once we find the best, then we want the monogamy because we want, because the man doesn't want to have anybody else's children, and the female wants to be taken care of. It's a very interesting philosophy and look on how genetics have sort of taken over relationships. But then, you know, to move into a heart-centered place or to move into a soul perspective, they're very different. And I would agree that, you know, I think marriages have been changing for a long time. I think also with divorce, it's so much easier to get a divorce. I think people are opting out of relationships long before they should. They're not growing and evolving, and they're not creating the intimacy that is available to people, like this really powerful connection that doesn't have to be there because of a piece of paper, but is there because our souls are choosing it.
Exactly. And you know, the last relationship that I was in, I was in a 2-year relationship, and what I realized as that relationship was drawing to a close was that there was no more intimacy at that point than there was in the beginning of the relationship. And as I looked at that, I realized, what's the point in staying here?
Right.
You know, because we've had 2 years to work on this to see about developing some modicum of intimacy, and it ain't happening.
Right.
And immediately I wanted to go into blame, and it was like, well, obviously he is not capable of intimacy. But as I did that, then I had to start, you know, because you name it, you own it. So I had to go back and look at, okay, what is it about me that is not capable of intimacy? And quite frankly, that's what I've been working on for the last year.
Right. It is a very big process. I mean, there are obviously relationships that are meant to be, that aren't meant to be, that, you know, we choose because of a karmic situation. We choose because, you know, we didn't finish something in a past life. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why people come into our lives, and it has a lot to do with commitment. I mean, I think, again, because it's so easy to date, because everything has been changing around marriage and divorce, you know, people have different concepts of, you know, whether it's worth working it out or whether it's, but I mean, the other thing, of course, is that, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, there's this oxytocin, this wonderful hormone that's released within us that is the touch hormone. So the more touching you get, the more connection you feel. And, you know, that hormone generally runs for 2 years. So at the 2 year mark, when the oxytocin has run out, that's when you're left to see whether you guys are actually compatible, whether you were ever compatible. And that's an interesting set point, because that will really change, will really allow the rose-colored glasses to come off to see whether. And had you not had the rose-colored glasses on, I mean, that's why there are some people that say you shouldn't have sexual intimacy for, you know, a month to 6 weeks, so that you can sort of build a solider foundation without the oxytocin getting involved. But oxytocin will come even when you touch hands. I mean, oxytocin comes from touch.
Right. Yeah, because with this relationship, you know, I didn't have that physical intimacy for probably 4 months.
Oh.
You know, we were just friends for a long time, and thought long and hard about whether sex would change the equation to the point that we didn't want it anymore, you know, that would ruin the relationship, ruin the friendship.
Right.
And, you know, looking back on it, we probably should have just left it at friendship.
Well,
hey,
yeah. But I mean, I think that's something that every person has to look at, you know, and come from a place of your heart as to what is it that you're looking for. But, you know, these people that, like, there's so many people out there right now that because online dating is so easy, and you don't actually have to meet people right away. Like, you can create something first, but I'm not sure what you're creating first is actually real. I don't actually believe that is something that's real. I think it becomes all your imagination and all of your fantasy of what a romantic relationship is. And that's where we, you know, we really have had a disservice with the way our media portrays relationships, because it really is this, you know, fantasy world of, you know, someone comes along and sweeps you off your feet and, you know, it becomes your knight in shining armor, and that's how relationships are. And, you know, I mean, this is one area that I get very excited about, because I've done a lot of research on Tantra. I've done a lot of research on David Data, who talks about how men have to be like in relationships, men are very masculine and women are very feminine, although the roles can change. But if you are a feminine person, then what you want is a masculine person. Very interesting concepts about relationships and what we're looking for. And I don't know. It's just I find it incredibly intriguing. And the thing is that we have to come up with this vision that's healthy, not based on the oxytocin, not based on the how media sees relationships, and getting ourselves out of that cloud that we seem to put ourselves in. That, you know, the first time you meet someone, you're looking at whether it's a long-term relationship. Is this the one? And we get so caught up in this game that we're playing that we lose consciousness of what is truly what we need or desire in our relationships.
And it, and the most, I don't want to say that, not the most important thing, but what we maybe really should be doing is looking for fun.
Yeah. And that's not to mean that you don't have commitment and you don't move into something, because I think commitment is a huge piece. And I know that there's a lot of people that have commitment issues. But again, if you're somebody who attracts people that have commitment issues, there's a part of you that also has something around that. Whether it's there's so much that we can learn by the people that we connect with.
I was having a conversation just last night with one of my good friends about relationships. Actually, we were talking about the show today, and she was asking me, so what are y'all going to talk about and all that, and that's how we got there. She said, so what do you want your next relationship to look like? Don't ask me that question, because I don't know, That was how I felt when she said that. Everything in my body stiffened up. Like, do I have to pick? And the universe, of course, says, yes, you do have to pick. Mm-hmm. So Lori, what are you looking for in your next relationship?
I think that's going to be a topic that we'll have to explore as we go into the next break.
That was an easy way to squeeze out of that one.
I think that one's going to be a harder one to, I look for qualities versus outer experience. Like, obviously, to me, there has to be an attraction, but the attraction isn't always something that is, it's not always something that is measurable. Like, it doesn't necessarily have this physical thing to it. It's whatever it is usually that we are attracted to. Like, that's a hard one to explain. I'm going to try and explain that better when we come back from break. Why don't we go to our next break? You're listening to News for the Heart. I have Jean Adrian. You can find out more about Jean if you go to her website, jeanadrian.com. We are talking all about relationships. We are getting to the heart of what matters. If you want more information about myself, go to intuitivesoul.com. And we'll be right back. Hi, I'm Lori Houston, and I have a great show on bmajor.org called News for the Heart. I'm an intuitive counselor, coach, and teacher with professional qualifications and certifications, as well as natural clairsentient and claircognizant abilities. I've been on my spiritual path for over 20 years, and during that time have acquired through extensive studies, teachings, and sacred texts over 30 different healing modalities, which are continuously being added to as life is an ongoing journey. My passion is on relationships, limiting beliefs, energy that is blocking you, and awakening consciousness as we become more heart-centered. You can find out more about me at my website, intuitivesoul.com, or call me at my toll-free number, 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And I'd be honored to connect with you. Let's get to the heart of what matters. Do you want to become more empowered, connected with your core, guided by your heart and soul's purpose, be more balanced and have more mindfulness? Are you searching for the answers Wanting to understand your relationships better? Why your intimate relationships, friends, family, and even work colleagues can impact your quality of life? How your relationships interfere with your business, career opportunities, and even starting your own business? I'm Lori Houston. I have a free weekly advice column with BeMajor.org called Heart Lessons. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggle that keep us from awakening to our true essence. You can send me your questions or for more personal guidance, contact me at intuitivesoul.com or call me at my toll-free number 1-855-444-SOUL. That's 1-855-444-7685. And let's get to the heart of what matters to see your heart lessons.
Want to know where you can hear Lori Houston's News for the Heart? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Lori via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Lori Houston and News from the Heart.
And welcome back. This is News for the Heart. We are talking with Jean Adrian. We're talking about relationships. Right before the break, Jean asked a very interesting question as to what I am desiring in a relationship. And, you know, it's an interesting concept because obviously I have to have some sort of attraction. And the attraction doesn't necessarily mean it is a, you know, purely physical thing, because it's our souls that kind of get attracted to the person that we're next going to match. And, you know, I know people that have, this may be going off topic, but, you know, where they're overweight and they're worried about not being able to meet somebody. And it's like, you know, when you meet the person you're supposed to meet, or you meet the person that's within your soul connection, or the next person that you're learning from, it really doesn't matter what you look like. It has to do more with this connection, this very deep connection that's created. And I always look for that first. So that's why I find, although internet dating is interesting, if I don't meet the person, I will never know if there's that connection, because it comes from looking into their eyes. So that soul connection, but it also, there's this empathy, this heart thing. And although I can be very intuitive without ever having met a person, when it comes to relationships, I'm not as good at doing that without it. I really
flies out the window for us, doesn't
you know,
it?
Well, no, I mean, I have to meet the person for that to solidify. Writing to someone is not really me writing to them. It's me writing about my desires, my fantasies. It creates more of a mental connection than it ever does heart to heart.
Yeah.
So when I think about what I want in a relationship, I mean, the one thing that I am, I think, working on now is, you know, somebody who's fully committed to being in a relationship and therefore doesn't want to take an easy way out. I was speaking with somebody and they were telling me about how they knew a couple who had created a contract, and the contract was very simple. It was do a 6 month or a 1 year or a 2 year, like you set the time. You probably start with a 6 month first, but then you set parameters of, you know, once a week we get together and we talk about anything that's going on in the relationship that we want to work on, or, you know, and that there's a commitment. You don't leave it within those 6 months. You try to work it out. And if that means going to counseling or, you know, and so it becomes really clear. So that, to me, that's a commitment. That's somebody who's, and if it's only for 6 months, that doesn't matter. The fact is that you're there and you have this commitment that you want to follow through and you want to see where it goes. So to me, that's kind of an exciting possibility of what I would probably do in the next relationship that I enter into, just because I want to be able to know whether that person can commit to a certain period and whether they're committed to being in the relationship. And then, you know, it has to do with your heart and your connection. And to me, I want a very spiritual connection. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to believe every single thing. We don't have to, you know, do the same things, but to have that kind of a spiritual, deeper connection. And honestly, I want something very tantric. So that's really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
What about you, Jean?
Well, you know, it's interesting that, you know, that your hot button is commitment. My hot button is being heard.
Ah.
I don't know that I've ever had a relationship where I've been completely heard. And that, and you know, and so it's kind of like when you don't get the lesson right, the universe ups the ante with every other one, you know, to the point that the last relationship, I was never heard at all.
Right.
You know, but, you know, I have attracted to myself many times men who want to do all the talking and run the show and, you know, and not listen to my thoughts, my beliefs, and my ideas. And now I have had relationships that started off where they really tried, they wanted to try to do that, you know, but you know, if when you're, when you do something that's not in alignment with your truth and your integrity, it takes an awful lot of energy to maintain that. And so they just can't.
Hmm.
That's what I found. And so at some point in time, it breaks down. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I'm an intensely spiritual person. Hey, I'm right. A Pisces. You know, that's what we do. And so I don't necessarily want another Pisces that you know, that's as intensely spiritual as I am. But they have to at least hear me out. You know, listen to me. They don't have to agree with me.
Right.
I'm not asking for agreement, but just let me talk and express what I need to express, not try to fix it or change it. I'm just wanting to talk and be listened to. And I guess, you know, being on radio, you learn to do that. You know, I say what I need to say, and then I shut up and listen to you. And I wait until you've said what you want to say, and then you shut up and listen to me. And if you don't do that, then you're not successful in radio.
Right.
And so maybe that's what I'm trying to transpose over into the real life situation. But, you know, I want a relationship that's balanced and, you know, where I feel that I'm heard.
I think for a lot of people, that's a big area. And I'm always amazed at, because it's such a crucial piece of our childhood, the fact that, you know, most of the time we were told, you know, we could be seen but not heard.
Mm-hmm.
So look good, but, you know, don't talk. And because that's such a big piece, I mean, I'm always amazed at how many people are much more, they're readily available to just break off a relationship rather than talk it out and find out what's actually going on, or find out what, you know, how the people are really reacting or what's going on. Like, I always find that so amazing. And although I think it's an area that can be very, make you very vulnerable, like very incredibly vulnerable. And I don't see vulnerability as a weakness. I see it as a strength. If you're in a relationship, you want to be vulnerable, but you can be really vulnerable by opening up and trying to, you know, to communicate and to be heard. So I think that's a great place to work on. Just know that that's, you know, that's a tough one, because it's and if you do, I recommend watching the series Being Erica. It was a Canadian series. It's on Netflix, but it's all about relationships, and it's all about learning how to communicate. I found them fascinating, but I could see where it would be very vulnerable to be that open and that. Just to be that open, it'll be very interesting. But I agree, that is an area that I am choosing to work on as well.
Cool. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
But if you have an opportunity, definitely watch it's a series of shows. It's called Being Erica. It's
okay.
Very cool. It's a very spiritual movie, or it's a spiritual series anyway. She kind of goes in between, in time. It's fascinating.
You know, it's funny. I had an insight after I said that. And I apologize, but I went off a little bit while you were talking into my own little, oh shit, now I get what this is all about. My entire corporate career has been based on communication. Mm. I started off, you know, my first job out of college was as a computer programmer. I was writing language to make computers talk. Oh. And then my next job was working for the telephone company. Again, you know, data communications. But data communications. Pretty much my entire 30 years of corporate has been some aspect of data communications. The last 15 years was sales, but the first 15 years was technical. Uh-huh. And so obviously communication is a strong piece of what I came into this life to master. And so here I am now taking it down from the macrocosm down to the microcosm into interpersonal relationships. Now it's time to work on communication. Hmm. I think that's a huge epiphany for me.
Right. And I think it's a huge piece that a lot of us, you know, want to be able to excel at. It's just, again, it's very vulnerable. Like you put yourself in a very vulnerable place because you're asking yourself to be, you know, heard, but you're also really allowing the other person to speak. And although sometimes we do that in different ways, in true communication, it has to be very open and honest. And it's like I said, I think it's a wonderful thing to want to work on because it will stretch us beyond our comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then, you know, that I'm with you, you know, there's got to be that attraction, the physical attraction. I like a guy that's got nice teeth. You know?
I got that one. Yeah, I got that one.
And a good smile.
Yeah. Well, that's more my thing, is the smile. I mean, I can see that.
And, you know, and then my core values have to do with honesty and integrity. So certainly there has to be that level of alignment. I have to have a relationship that's based on truth and trust.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's interesting the lessons that we learn when we look at what we're actually wanting to create within ourselves as well. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, to look at the list that we create of qualities and, you know, how that sort of evolved in our lives and why that's such an important piece. I mean, it will teach you a lot about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I know we talked a little bit about, you know, David Data, and I know that you wanted to make a point about how that sort of helped you understand relationships. But I think it was a big piece also for me because it came from a very male perspective, but it came from a very masculine perspective. So I like his writings.
I did too. It was a good book. I've only read one of his books.
Right.
And I can't. I think it's called "It's a Guy Thing." But you know. But anyway, the takeaway that I had from that book was that you have to have balance, mm-hmm. and it's got to be that feminine masculine, the yin and the yang balance in a relationship in order for the relationship to be a happy one, a smiley face, you know?
Right.
And that what happens is that when you have two people who are two yin or two people who are too yang, then it kind of that smiley face goes to a flat line or a downturn smile, you know? And he didn't use those terms, but that was what I saw. That was the visual I got as I was reading the book. And what I realized was that my career had always been, I'd always been competing in a man's world. Mm-hmm. You know, I usually was like one of the only women in the company or doing what I was doing,
right,
sort of thing. So I tended to take that over into my personal relationships where I wanted to make the decisions and I wanted to, you know, sort of be in control and be the man. And so what that would end up doing would be emasculating my male partner.
Right.
And
you also tended to make more money than them too, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. You know, so I had to become aware of that before I could begin to look at that and address that within myself and figure out, okay, why do I feel the need to do this? And, you know, and then I had to then start developing my more feminine side. I looked in my wardrobe and all my clothes were either black or white.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I started, one of the first things I did was go out and buy colorful prints and flowers and whatever. But things that were not black and white.
Right.
More pastels even. Things that I wouldn't normally have considered buying in the past. But, you know, more frilly outfits, dresses, more feminine things, softer things, instead of the, little button up shirts with a tie.
Back in the days of dress with success.
That's what they told you to do.
That's right. That's right. They did. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we went through, the women's movement in the 60s. Not that I was really very present at that time, but, and it created a lot of women that, of a place of power. Like, it created that more masculine energy. And so now we're coming into that place of balance, and it really will be interesting. I mean, I think that might be a show that we may want to explore is, really the difference between, what a feminine energy is and what a masculine energy is, and just kind of play with that. And definitely David Data has kind of really explored that area. He has some very interesting concepts, but it also helps you understand relationships more. But I definitely was in the, when I was much younger, that it was, I was all about, not having somebody take power from me and, the authority figures and definitely working from a more masculine energy. But that was never what I wanted.
Right.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just what you felt you had to do to survive.
Right. Yeah, so maybe we should just continue that one on our next show.
Yeah, let's prepare that one for our next one. I guess our next live taping, it will be on the 19th of May. So if you want to join us, we will definitely have some information on Facebook, and you could call in or you could listen to the show and just text us or send us a message through Blog Talk. But you have been listening to News for the Heart. I really appreciate having this opportunity to talk with you, Jean. I've enjoyed the show very much. I think we will do a lot more shows on this area. All right, so we'll be back again. If you want to have more information about Jean, go to her website, jeanadrian.com, and myself, intuitivesoul.com. And we've been getting to the heart of what matters. You've been listening to News for the Heart.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.